Saturday, May 24th. Mass of the Blessed Virgin Mary on Saturday. The lesson from Ecclesiasticus chapter 24, verses 14 through 16. From the beginning and before the world was I created, and unto the world to come I shall not cease to be, and in the holy dwelling place I have ministered before him. And so I was established in Sion, and in the holy city likewise I rested, and my power was in Jerusalem. And I took root in an honorable people, and in the portion of my God his inheritance, and my abode is in the full assembly of the saints. The Gospel from John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. At that time there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore had seen his mother and the disciple standing whom he loved, he saith to his mother, Woman, behold thy son. After that he saith to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her to his own. From the Great Commentary of Cornelius a Lapide. There stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene, who was the more enkindled with love for Jesus when she saw him washing away with his blood those very sins which she had just washed away with her tears. Christ wished it so to be, that he might suffer the more by witnessing the sorrows of his mother, and that she, by sharing his sufferings, might give us a perfect example of patience and charity. As St. John Damascene says, The pangs of childbirth which she escaped, she suffered at the time of his passion by her motherly compassion, bearing him afresh and beholding his wounds. For the holier she was, and the nearer to Christ, the larger was the cup of suffering which he offered her. She stood therefore firm and erect in her body, more erect in her mind, looking and wondering at this great mystery of God hanging on the cross. Hence Sophronius calls the Blessed Virgin a martyr, nay, more than a martyr, because, he says, she suffered in her mind. Her love indeed was stronger than death, because she made the death of Christ her own. And St. Adelphonsus says, She was more than a martyr, because there was in her no less love than sorrow. She was wounded with a sword within, for she stood prepared, though the hand to smite her was wanting. And she was rightly more than a martyr, for, wounded with overpowering love, she witnessed his death, and in her inward grief she bare the torture of the passion. St. Anselm says, Whatever cruelty was inflicted on the bodies of the martyrs was light, or rather nothing, in comparison with thy suffering, which in its very immensity pierced through to the inmost parts of thy most tender heart. And I could not believe that thou couldest endure such cruel tortures without losing thy life, unless the spirit of life itself, spirit of consolation, the spirit of thy most loving son, for whose death thou wast then in torture, taught thee within that it was not death that was destroying him, but rather a triumph which was bringing all things under him, which thou didst behold when he was dying in thy sight. St. Bernard says, No tongue can speak, nor mind imagine, how the tender feelings of the Virgin were affected with sorrow. Now, O Virgin, thou payest with interest that natural suffering which thou hadst not in childbirth. Thou didst not feel pain at thy son's birth, but thou sufferedst a thousandfold more at his death. St. Mactildas relates a vision in which she saw a seraph saluting the Blessed Virgin on account of the great love she had to God above all other creatures, which was especially manifested in the passion of her son, when she kept down all her human feelings and rejoiced that he was willing to die for the salvation of the world. She manifested the highest obedience in offering up her son to the Father, conforming herself therein to the divine will. She is like the mother of the Maccabees, like St. Felicity, like St. Symphorosa, who encouraged their sons to suffer martyrdom for the faith. St. Ambrose says, The mother stood before the cross, and when men fled, she remained intrepid. See whether the mother of Jesus could put off her modesty, who put not aside her courage. She looked with loving eyes on the wounds of her son, through whom she knew that the redemption of all men would come. The son was hanging on the cross. The mother offered herself to the persecutors, as not being ignorant of the mystery, that she had borne one who would rise again. St. Athanasius says, Mary stood most firmly and most patiently in her faith in Jesus. For when the disciples fled, and all men held aloof from him, to the glory of the whole of her sex, amidst the countless sufferings of her son, she alone remained firm and constant in her faith, and indeed was a beauteous sight, as became her virgin modesty. She did not disfigure herself in the great and bitter sorrow. She reviled not, she murmured not, she asked not from God for vengeance on her enemies, but she stood as a well-disciplined, modest virgin, most patiently, full of tears, immersed in grief. St. Ambrose says, She was indeed so strengthened on beholding the blessed wounds of her son as to be ready herself to die for the salvation of the world. For in faith, strength, and warmth of charity, she was not inferior to Abraham, who was willing at God's command to offer up his son Isaac with his own hand. Besides this, her sure belief in his resurrection alleviated her sorrow and strengthened her resolution. She knew that he would rise on the third day. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and his disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Christ pierced her heart with the wound both of love and sorrow, for he meant, Mother, I am, as thou seest, dying on the cross. I shall not be able to be with thee, to attend to thee, to provide for thee, and assist thee as I have hitherto done. I assign to thee in my place John to be thy son, a man in the place of God, a disciple for a master, an adopted son instead of thine own by nature, in order that he, as a virgin and most beloved by thee as the Virgin Mother of God, may bestow on thee all the solace and all the devotion which both thy dignity and thy advancing age demand, and which the zeal and love of John promises and assures to thee. Christ therefore here teaches that children should care for their parents even to the last, says St. John Chrysostom. St. Augustine says, Here is a passage of moral teaching. Our good teacher instructed his own by his own example, that pious children should have a care for their parents, as if that wood on which his limbs were fastened when he was dying were also the chair of the teacher. St. Cyril says, We ought to learn from him and through him, first of all, that parents must not be neglected, even when intolerable sufferings are hanging over us. But wonder at the calmness with which he does everything on the cross, caring for his mother, fulfilling prophecies, promising paradise to the thief. But before he came to it, how burdened was he, pouring forth his sweat and full of trouble. Euthymius says, In the one case the weakness of nature was seen, in the other his great power of endurance. Christ commends his mother to St. John, whom at the same time he put in his own place as her son, that thus they might have a mutual care for each other. Cyprian gives the reasons for this. First, to provide for his mother, who was now waxing old, the care and kind offices of a son, as if he said, I am dying, I cannot care for thee any more, I resign thee into the hands of John. Secondly, that he might commend a virgin to a virgin, the pure is entrusted to the pure. As Nonnus paraphrases it, O mother, thou lover of virginity, behold thy virgin son. And on the other hand, he said to his disciple, O thou lover of virginity, behold a virgin who is thy parent without giving thee birth. St. Ambrose says, But with whom should the virgin dwell rather than with him whom she knew to be the heir of her son and the guardian of her chastity? And in this matter, Jesus, as anxious for her purity, wished that her continuance in this state, as a mother and yet a virgin, should be fully proved. As St. Ambrose writes, that no one should cast on her the reproach of having lost her purity. Thirdly, to show that Joseph was not his father, he set him aside and put John in his place. Cyprian says, Thou carefully providest for her who was blessed among women the protection of an apostle, and thou deliverest the care of the virgin to a virgin disciple, in order that Joseph might be no longer burdened with the charge of so great a mystery, but that John should bear it. For reason now demanded that he should no longer be regarded as her husband, nor be counted the father of Christ, who had hitherto held the place of father and husband. This rests on the supposition that Joseph was then alive, but most commentators, and with greater probability, think otherwise. For no mention whatever is made of him, and Christ seems to have commended his mother to the care of John because Joseph was dead. For had he been alive, Christ would certainly have committed his mother to his care, as he had done at his incarnation and nativity, and as having had experience of his fidelity and care in the flight into Egypt and at other times. Fourthly, John alone remained fearlessly and firmly with Mary at the cross, amidst all the insolence and reviling of the Jews. He therefore deserved to be adopted by Jesus as his brother, and to be put in his room as the son of the Virgin Mother. Moreover, Christ commended, in the person of St. John, the rest of the apostles, nay, all the faithful, to his mother, especially those who are chaste and virgins, and follow most closely Christ on his cross, and thus become most beloved and most closely joined to Christ, just as was St. John. Christ calls her woman, not mother, lest that loved name should wound the mother's heart, and not to rouse the scribes and Pharisees against her, and to show that he had put off all human affections, that he resigned all human relationships, and wished to teach their abandonment. And lastly, to arouse her courage and strength of mind to bear all these things with fortitude, and remind her of that resolute woman whom Solomon had foretold in Proverbs 31. For the Blessed Virgin suffered for a longer time than Christ. His suffering ceased at his death. Her suffering and compassion increased more and more, for she received his body when taken down from the cross, thus reviving her grief. And for the 3 days he lay in the tomb, his sufferings on the cross, which she had witnessed close at hand, remained vividly impressed on her mind, and gave it pain till Christ rose again. The Blessed Virgin was left behind him to be the mother of the apostles and the faithful, to gather them together again, to comfort the afflicted, to support the stumbling, to advise the doubting and anxious, and through all trials, direct, instruct, and animate them. All the faithful, as St. Bernard says, should betake themselves to her with full confidence and love. She is the Eve of the faithful, the mother of all living, to whom the wise and saints of every age betake themselves. St. Augustine says, "When he said these words, these two beloved ones ceased not to shed tears. They were both silent, for they could not speak for excessive grief." These two virgins heard Christ speaking and saw him gradually dying. They wept bitterly, for they sorrowed bitterly, for the sword of his sorrow pierced through both their hearts.